Welcome to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Stizzum, where entrepreneurs come together to discuss business growth strategies, marketing ideas, techniques, and tips. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Michelle Stizzum.
And welcome to the show. I'm so excited to be here with you guys today. I'm actually in Houston, Texas today. You know me, they call me the roving radio show host. I was here this morning recording a segment for a new internet-based TV show that's getting ready to come out. So really excited about that. And it was really cool because we were talking about marketing, which is one of my favorite subjects, and a little bit about market research. So I thought we'd talk about that today on the show. Before we do that, though, you know, we always cover the bases here. Remember that you can call in. I pretty much dare you to call in. Dial 347-989-1363 if you have an opinion on anything that we're sharing. If you have a question about anything that we're sharing, or if you just want to hear your voice on the radio, I'm fine with any of those. So just call in so we can talk to you. It's 347-989-1363. And remember to be connected. Stay connected with us. You can ask questions on Facebook or connect with us on Twitter. On Twitter, it's @ResultsLady. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/DecisiveMinds, M-I-N-D-S, or facebook.com/TuffTalkRadio. So, like I said earlier today, I was here in Houston recording a segment for a new internet-based TV show that's coming out, and we were talking about result-based selling and what that looks like. What are those things that you can do to start to see the results you want, opportunities? There's lots of conversations being had by entrepreneurs about the fact that it's December and selling, you know, that there's not a lot of people that are business-to-business selling happening in December, which I think is a bunch of horse pucky. But, you know, I know for a fact that people buy and spend. They're in a spending mood in the month of December, people. And so they spend money on a lot of things. I see a lot of entrepreneurs really take this month and shut down. And we've talked a lot about that over the last couple of weeks. So the conversation that I had was having today was, you know, like I said, about results-based selling and about taking someone through the process of getting to know you. We talk a lot about relationship on this show and getting to the point where someone trusts you so that they want to buy from you. But one of the things we were talking about this morning on the recording was doing market research, because when we're looking at how to improve our close rates, how to how to shorten the length of time that it takes us to attain the sales goals that we set, or to get to the number of clients that we choose to get to, or whatever that might look like. There's some information that we really should take the time to get to know about those people. You know, we've talked about in the past, what is it, what's the conversation that they are having? Right? What is it that they think? And how are you showing your value in providing what they think they already need? So I just wanted to give you a couple of tips on finding out what your ideal client is looking for. And that can be pretty tough sometimes. We're not, you know, in the situation where, you know, we're not those big corporations that we're willing to spend millions of dollars on doing market research. So how do we kind of jump on their coattails and find out what's going on? A couple of great, easy ways for you to know what your audience is looking for is, number one, to look for the magazines that that they're reading, because what we know is that those magazines are spending lots of money to do the research, to find out what are the words, what's the hot topic, what is it that their audience wants to know, because they have to put those words on the cover to get people to pick up the magazine. So when you know, for example, you know, my audience is full of entrepreneurs, and they have a tendency to read magazines like Entrepreneur, Inc., Forbes, those types of magazines. When you know that about your client, then what you can do is look, you know, look at those magazines, grab it off the shelf and look at what are the words that they're using, what you should be speaking about. You should be writing your blog post about. You should be having conversations about with these people whenever you're in a sales conversation. Now, if you don't think that that gives you enough information, we can go a little deeper with those magazines, because it's pretty easy these days to get the circulation information from magazines. So if you go in looking for the information for advertisers, right, one of the things that magazines does is it puts together a description of their audience. And in that description, it will talk a lot about, you know, what is specific to them. Are they, you know, maybe they have a tendency to go to movies 3 times a month. Or, I mean, they go into that kind of detail. So you can learn a lot about the magazine's audience. And if your audience is that same person, you can learn a lot about you. But first and foremost, look at those words on the cover, because that's really where you're going to find some real good marketing gems. Remember, it's all about what they think they want and not what you know they need. So I was actually in a networking event about 3 weeks ago, and a gentleman walked up to me. This is the second time I have met him, and actually it's the second time he's done this to me, right? He walked up to me and started telling me about his product right out of the gate. He did ask my name first. My name, and then he immediately went into telling me about his product and what all it would do for me. He never asked if I had the problem. He never asked what I thought my problem was, right? He just had went on some assumptions of what he knew his product could do for me. So I walked away from that conversation, and by the way, when I wasn't that interested in what he was saying, he turned on his heels and went to the next person, and I heard him do the exact same pitch to the second person. So that is not what we call relationship selling, right? That's not building relationship at all. I walked away from that experience feeling like he could care less how it was going to really affect me and my business. It was just a number. He was looking for that next person to fill that next slot. And that's not what we're looking for when we're looking at results-based selling, right? Of course, we set goals, and we're going to fill those goals. But we're doing it by building relationship, by better understanding who our ideal clients are, what it is that they are looking for and what they think they need. And I wanted to give you another idea. One of the things that we do probably, I would say, every 4 months, is we will ask a question survey. That's all this is just a survey of your audience. Now, I want to caution you, when you're doing this survey, this is to get information to find out more about what it is they think they need. So we don't want multiple questions. We want this to be so easy that it only takes them a few seconds. They get in, they give you some information, and they get out, right? So what we do is we'll go out to Facebook, we'll post it out to our email list, we'll put it out anywhere that we think we can, Twitter, and we'll ask the question, which is usually I'll say something like, so what is the one thing that's standing in your way when you're trying to close the sale? Or what's the one thing that's keeping you from getting new clients? Or what's the one thing that stops you from hiring the right people? Whatever it is that you're doing for people, ask them a very general question about that and give them a blank to fill in. Don't give them, is it A, B, C, or D? Don't do that at all, because guess what? Then you don't have their words. You're looking for their words. Remember, what is it that they think they need? I know you're tired of hearing it, right? So just there's a couple of great ideas on how to do a little market research. Won't cost you a lot of money. All right, so go to magazines, look at the covers, look at the circulation, go out there and ask a question, a single question with a blank, and let people fill it in. Make it as easy as possible so that they can help you. And what you're going to see, what happens is that people start to say things to you whenever you really get it, when you're using their words in your conversations. They start to say things like, man, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's like you're in my head. And that's exactly where we want to be. So All right, guys, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll come back for some more great information in a few moments. Hold on.
If you know someone who wants the Legal A-Team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Join Dr. Alan Simberg and his guests every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Life Changing Insights. Life Changing Insights is a show dedicated to providing its listeners with self-improvement information that has a positive effect on an individual's mental, physical, and spiritual being, as well as unresolved relationship issues. For more information or to be a guest on Life Changing Insights, go to LifeChangingInsightsWithDrAlanSimberg.com. Life Changing Insights, every Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Pops up on Facebook, so we're good. And it sounds like we're back. Awesome. All right, so this is Michelle, and, you know, we are having a little technical difficulty with our guest, so we're just going to continue our conversation, and as soon as we can get her lined up, we'll have her here on the call with us. So we were talking about market research and how to learn more about your customers, your potential customers. When I was having the conversation this morning about results-based selling, one of the questions was how to improve our close rates. And, you know, obviously knowing what it is that people are looking for is very helpful in that fashion, in that manner. But also there's other things that we should be doing. And one of those is to understand how to have conversations that move people to wanting more information and to asking you to sell something to them. And sometimes that seems like a foreign concept to a lot of entrepreneurs, but it truly can be done. And so whether that is a phone conversation or you're having coffee with someone and looking for what it is that they that you can help them with, or you're sitting in their office, whatever that looks like for you, when you are at that moment of having that conversation that you're wanting to make an offer in, then what you have to remember is to go at that conversation from their viewpoint. What is it that they're looking for, right? So I often start by just asking, you know, for me, whenever I'm working with someone, I'm working on their business, obviously, right? So I will ask them to tell me where it is in their business that they think that the problem lies. What would they like to improve? And I let them start to talk about that conversation. What, you know, maybe they're going to say to me that they felt like if they built their email marketing list that they would be able to sell more. Or maybe they want to start speaking and they know they need to get out and speak and that's not working. Or maybe they say, you know, that they don't know how to close a customer or they're not very good at closing their customers or whatever that looks like. Then I can start to have a conversation around that particular thing for them, right? I don't have to have a generic conversation where I'm always saying the same thing to every person. I can just kind of hone in on the pieces that they are looking for and have that conversation first. Let them know that you understand where they're at and what they feel like their issues are. And remember that a lot of people, this is all about building a relationship, okay? And a lot of people just want to know that somebody understands, that somebody's listening. I'll use words like, so what I heard you say was, okay? And I'll repeat what it was they said. I take a lot of notes during these conversations so that I can remember the words that they used and the pains that that is bringing upon them. And then I say things like, so listen, if you could figure out how to build that list, if that were fixed, how would that feel? What would that change for you and your business? And let them start to feel that, you know, what would be different? Would it be, if they had a list, would it be that when they went out and promoted something or made an offer, they would, you know, they would get more people or more clients or whatever it is for them? Let them tell you what it is that it would change. And then ask them what else in their business or their life or whatever it is that you're doing for them. What else is it that is wrong? And let's see what they say. And just keep going. What else? What else? Until they say, well, I think that's it. Okay, great. So how would it look to fix all this? How would it feel to fix all of this? And, you know, it is fixable because I've seen it. I know how that feels because maybe I felt the same way. I want you to hear that there's no pressure, there's no push and all of that. It's a very steady conversation that is about them and about the fact that you know you get where they're coming from and that what you do can change that. And then naturally, that leads into a conversation of, so would you like to know how I can help you with that? Right? Yes or no? If they don't, then great. The conversation is over. I'm going to tell you, though, almost no one ever says no to that question to me. So they're going to say they want to hear what it is that you do. So, and then beyond that, it is the conversation of follow-up, right? So you have this contact with this person. They aren't ready to make a decision. There's some follow-up to happen. Or you've made the contact with this person. They did make a decision, and there's still something, you know, they're your new client. They need to hear from you whenever, you know, when maybe it's just been months since they've, you know, if you're, depending on what it is that you're selling, if you're putting them into a system where they don't have a lot of personal contact with you, then you need to be sure that you're following up with them as well. But I think that the biggest place that entrepreneurs fall down when it comes to the follow-up is with those that have not hired them. And so, you know, I was the other day, I'm going to give you a story of great follow-up, okay? It's no secret that I like really nice stuff, and I love Coach purses and Coach wallets and Coach sunglasses, and, you know, I have a little bit of everything from Coach. And so the people in the Coach store in our mall really like me, and I think that probably the reason they do is because after I bought the first Coach purse, 8 or 9 months ago, or a year ago, however long ago that's been from them, maybe within a week, I got a card in the mail saying how nice it was to meet me and how they hope that I'm enjoying my new, and they named it whatever brand that was, purse. And then about maybe 2 months later, I got a phone call one day. And it was from a girl in the store. And she said, listen, I'm just calling to check on your purse and how's it going, and you're still loving it and you're still using it. Awesome, right? Connection. And then I went back and I bought another purse and got another card in the mail.
And this time, the next time that they called, which was about a month ago, I get a phone call one day and she says, hey, listen, I just wanted to let you know that we're going to have an exclusive client sale and we're going to invite you to that sale. We're going to do it early. And, I mean, it's like I had joined some exclusive club, right? That is what you call building relationship. That's follow-up. The fact that they send out those cards and the thank yous and they do all the pieces, they call and do all of that, and it really has built a relationship. I wouldn't go anywhere else to buy my purse. So the last time I was in there, they said, did you ever find that red wallet? Because the time before that when I was in there, I had been talking about the fact that I wanted to buy a new red wallet. And they remembered that when I came in the store the next time. How do you think they remembered it? Because they write it all down. This is what you do, right? You have to. You want people to feel like they belong for whatever it is that you're doing, right? Build a relationship with them. So it's great. I love it. I keep getting more and more and more stuff from the Coach store, and they love me. So build relationship. All right, so we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I think we've got our guest on the line with us, so we'll be back in a few minutes.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Awesome. And we are back with our guest today, Lisa Hall. Lisa, are you there?
I am, Michelle. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. So glad to have you on the show today. Let me do this real quick. I want to just kind of share with everybody a little bit about you, but then I'm going to have you tell your story because I always like to know how people got to where they are and what they're doing. But this is Lisa Hall, and Lisa helps businesses get over the challenge of dealing with growth, expansion, or just not being able to cope with the flood of things that hits business owners every day. Lisa, that sounds like a really big undertaking.
It is, but I so enjoy what I do because I really feel like I get to help business owners find more balance, which is oftentimes one of the reasons they go into business for themselves in the first place.
Yeah.
So, helping them create a little more time in their day, whether it's to take on one or two more clients and create more income or get out there and be able to have an hour for themselves to take a walk every day. It's so important, and I just love what I do. It's so worthwhile.
Awesome. Very good. So why don't you share with everybody a little bit. First of all, tell us what you have a Twitter ID and website.
Yes.
Tell me all that kind of stuff first so that
okay.
Everybody can connect with you while we're talking.
Great. My Twitter handle is One Tight Ship. My website is tightship.us. And let's see, my Facebook is Tightship with Lisa Hall. And I would love to be connected to more people. You can find me on LinkedIn as well, and that's just under my name, Lisa Hall. I would love to connect to everybody. I'm pretty active on all three of those. I'm even starting to get a little more active on Instagram, although I can't tell you my handle of that off my top of my head. But if you search either Tightship or Lisa Hall, it should pop up.
Very cool. I love this whole idea, the tight ship. Tell us about you and about how you got to this point, and then we'll talk about what that means, too.
I sure will. I love to tell my story about the tight ship and how that came to be part of my business handle, I guess you could say. I've always been an entrepreneur my entire life. I was a kid who would polish rocks and try to sell them to the other neighborhood kids and, you know, babysat from a very early age and was always all about saving and making money. On into even my adult life, and I worked as a teacher for the longest period, for 15 years. But even when I was doing that, I would be, you know, in the summers, I'd be tutoring or I'd be selling something on the side because, as you know, teachers mm-hmm. don't make a whole lot of money. I did gift baskets for about a year and a half and did very well with that. Anyways, and then so when we got to thinking about what I was going to name my business coaching business as I was getting started on it, my husband came up with Tight Ship, and it resonates with me because my dad was an entrepreneur, similar to mm-hmm. what I think your dad was an entrepreneur,
yeah,
your
absolutely.
Family. Mm-hmm. And my dad passed away at 58, very young, but he was a very big boater. And so the tight ship to me is my way of kind of honoring my dad every day and keeping his entrepreneurial spirit alive, and it just really speaks to me. And my goal for 2015 is to buy my husband and I a boat, Cash. So mm-hmm. I'm really, really excited about that. We've been boaters before when we lived across the country, and we sold it when we moved here to Tennessee, and so I want to make that goal happen for us and get that boat back.
Yeah. So much fun. Yeah, I can so relate because my dad as well, big time. We were always in the boat on the water. So
right.
Loved fishing and all that. So I guess that's why Tight Ship talked to me too. So
and
cool. So
I've been very happy with it because, you know, a lot of people, coaches and such, will tell you to just use your name. But when you're in the coaching field, but people don't forget Tight Ship. It really sticks with people. If they can't remember my name, they do remember that. And,
that's
you
right.
know, I can be found across the internet with it. So it's worked out for me.
Very cool. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, who you like to work with and what it is that you do with those entrepreneurs.
I like to work with small to medium-sized business owners. Anything from when people are first starting out, they need to just get organized. I love to help people get systems in place from the bottom up if I can, because it is a little more challenge to get systems in place to help you run your business when you're a little bit more in depth. But I tend to find that most of my clients will come to me in year two or three because they've seen some success. Now things are rolling and percolating a little bit, and they don't have systems generally in place, or their systems that they have in place aren't working. And so they need to figure out what the next step is going to be. I'm sorry, I am sitting here literally on the phone with you holding two puppies.
We can hear them in the background.
No, we rescued puppies this weekend, and so I apologize for that.
No, it's okay.
You're going to hear some little yelping in the background. until I can get them to sleep. Anyway, so that's when business owners generally come to me, is when they're starting to see a little growth. Maybe they're going to get their first employee in place, or they're putting some employees in place and don't have any procedures for that. Oftentimes I'll help them with their procedural manual, get those online and offline systems in place and organized for them.
Yes, that actually leads directly to what my question was which systems do you normally work with people on? So probably more than just that, but.
Yeah, anything from, you know, your system of goal setting. So right now I'm doing a lot of goal setting with clients, and not just the goal setting, but putting a system in place to follow it up. So working with your calendar and your time management system to make sure that you're plotting and charting your follow-up, and looking back, setting time on your calendar to look back at your business goals throughout the year. But anything like CRMs, what I try to do is stay pretty up to date on what to use, because every single day there's systems and apps coming on the market, and some are better suited for others, you know, and so I just kind of keep up to date. I go in and get the free trials and try to, you know, get in there and see how the apps work. I read all I can about them and try to stay really updated. So anything from CRMs to project management. So when I get in there and dig into somebody's business, I can give them some advice on what's the best system for them to take a look at and possibly implement in their business.
Are you actually working with them on developing the system, or are you just you're doing the day-to-day get it done for them, or what?
Actually, a little of both. So, like, you know, I work with them, of course, like on their calendar and time management system, which some of my clients prefer to have an offline or not, you know, and some prefer an online, which, you know, what really is the best is what you're going to use, right? So, so I can give them advice on what's out there online, or we can talk about the best way to manage things offline if that's necessary. But then just last week I did work with a client. We're actually complete. She is getting ready to delegate and start passing off some projects to project managers. So we're creating the flow chart for the systems that she puts in place. So, you know, who's going to do the billing, and where's that going to, after the client pays, then where does the project go and who handles it? Where are the notes made on the project and all of that, you know, day-to-day kind of stuff that's really important, because when a client calls, you want to be able to tell them where their project is and just where it is in the system and how long they can expect it to be before it comes back to them.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And this, you know, time of the year especially, I know we've been talking a lot about it on the radio show for the last couple of weeks. It's, we're finishing out this year and we're getting ready for next year. And so I'm sure you're doing a lot of goal setting with people and then the time management. So maybe that would be a great conversation for us to have about, you know, how do you approach that? What kind of advice do you give your clients around setting those goals for next year? What type of goals they should be setting? All that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think my first piece of advice on that, I'm actually starting my to plan my first one-day event, which is in January, and I'm writing the curriculum. And one of the things I'm going to be sharing with folks that come to that is not to have too many goals. You know, we get excited and we want to see our profit margins increase. We want to be able to grow our list and see more speaking and, you know, do all of these great things. But, you know, if you have too many, it's really hard to focus and to keep make sure that you're staying on task to reach those goals. And what tends to happen is a lot of them might fall by the wayside. So I'm really trying to talk to my clients right now about just being really clear on maybe 5 goals that they can have specific tasks towards reaching on a weekly basis. And what was my second piece I was going to say to that? The other thing that I would recommend as people are sitting down to think about their goals is to really think about what's on their personal bucket list. I think one of the things that is really amazing and fun and I guess gets me really excited about entrepreneurship is that really we have the ability to create the lifestyle we want. We're not held back by corporate and certain, you know, you only get this incremental raise this year. And so if there's something on your bucket list that's going to motivate you to help you reach those goals, it's important to kind of think about that. And, you know, like I was talking about at the beginning of our conversation, putting that, kind of wrapping it around and attaching it to your goals. So when I'm thinking about the boat, I'm thinking about, well, just how much income am I going to need to generate monthly? And how much am I going to have to put away? So I'm thinking about what do I need to profit in my business for our daily living expenses? And then beyond that, how much am I going to have to put away each month to make that happen? Because I want to give that as a gift to my husband next year for Christmas. So, It's very motivating. It helps you pick up that phone when it's heavy to have those sales conversations. It makes you get out when you're tired and go to another networking appointment. You know, it makes you ask for joint ventures. You know, if you just have something that you're really attached to doing, and or having, it really helps.
I like that you said to not have too many goals, right? 4 or 5 goals, something in there that should be on your personal bucket list. A lot of times I do, you know, working with entrepreneurs, I see them set a lot of goals. And the reality is that they're pretty much all tied together anyway. And so
exactly.
if your goal is to, you know, have 5 new clients by March 1st or something like that, then, you know, what do you have to do that? Well, you need to go speak, or you need to, you know, those part of the process. Those are just the tasks in attaining that goal, right? So they don't
exactly.
have to be goals themselves to focus on. You need to focus on what are those tasks that attain the big goal. So
exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
Very cool. Awesome. And then something else that you touched on earlier was the conversation around time management and managing your calendar. And, you know, it is one of the things I've actually worked a lot with clients on this year is, you know, as our businesses grow and things get even crazier every day, right?
Right.
It can really get out of hand. So why don't you give us some advice, your approach to time management? What kind of things should people be looking for, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I would, if I was doling out and dishing out advice, is to really create a focused hour. Everybody gets, you know, so tied down with their task list, and we all have them, and, you know, it's kind of that thing where we have to face that they're not going to get any smaller. Every day something comes on, you know, 2 or 3 things get added to your task list. So what I have done that's really helped me is created a focused hour. And it's really before, for me, it works best to do this hour before my day actually starts, before I head out networking, before I, you know, start seeing clients. So I'm a morning person, so I generally will work from about 6 to 7 o'clock before I go in to exercise and get dressed and, you know, work on my highest priority tasks. I also have certain things I do each day of the week during that hour. So one day of the week, usually Monday, is devoted to a little marketing during that time. Tuesdays are usually devoted to my newsletter. Later in the week, I have one day that's usually devoted to blogging and getting some content out there that started and created. And what that generally has done for me is it also helps me lower my stress level, because as a new task comes on my calendar, if I know when it's going to be handled, even if the task list gets longer, I feel okay about it, because I know, okay, Wednesdays are my day to, you know, look at my my bank account and, you know, send out any reminders for things that need to be paid on my QuickBooks and see what's coming in for the week and all of that. So if I have to generate a new invoice for someone, I know when it's going to happen. So, that's really, I think, one of my favorite pieces of advice. And for some people, it may not be early in the morning. It may be in the middle of the night, and that's okay.
Right.
You know, you kind of have to find your rhythm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Shoot, what I love about that is that when we, you know, really get clear with the fact that we've got certain times on our calendar that we're going to do certain things, okay? And we have that crazy day where we put 45 things on our list, which we're not going to accomplish. It physically is not even possible to do what we think we can do in a day. And if we can just start to give ourselves permission to let things happen at certain days or at certain times or whatever that looks like for us, instead of feeling guilty because we didn't get everything accomplished today, life gets so much better as an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, any corporate jobs that I've had in the past, their departments ran that way, right? They would have a certain day of the week where they would, you know, focus on maybe it was responding back to emails and a certain time of the day where they might respond to follow-up phone calls with people who had left phone calls, and a procedure and process for everything. And I think that's when we go into business, one of the things we forget, you know, is that we are the CEO of our business, and putting those processes into place, how we determine they should work in our own business, is up to us.
Right. That's right. Exactly right. Very cool. So so we talked about some of the systems that you work with entrepreneurs on, and goal setting and time management, and you mentioned CRMs and project management. Let's talk a little bit about project management. And you know, what are you seeing happening for entrepreneurs in the whole first of all, define for people project management just in case they're not sure, but you know, what type of things are you seeing that really get the entrepreneurs stuck when it comes to the implementation part of any kind of project? But
right. So I'll tell a quick little story. I got into this whole arena and area as a business coach, focused primarily on systems, because several years ago, I had the opportunity to work with a piece of the Chet Holmes and Tony Robbins organizations. The part that I worked on was they were focused on creating a marketing piece for local or for small business owners. It was a marketing piece that they were creating. And what I discovered was that they had this big kind of tangled mess going on, where they had several people who were creating these projects. And when a new project came in, it was distributed to somebody whose workload was lighter. And it wasn't always clear where the project was in the scope and sequence of it being finished. We didn't always know who had, like, for example, when a client called, and said, okay, how long until I can expect my project for its a final, you know, rough draft approval kind of a thing, I'd literally have to get off the phone with them and go call several people who had that project. So project management is that piece where can define who has the project at what time. If there's many hands working on it, you can see at any point in the project where it might be. And so I work with looking at things like Teamwork and Basecamp, online systems, to help clients figure out where they need to, what's the best application for them to use within their own business, depending on, and that really depends on what they are trying to create in their business, how many people are working on their business. Sometimes it's just as simple as one or two people. And if that's the case, you know, still putting an online system in place is very beneficial and helpful, just because you can look then and see that a task has been handled, whether it's,
right,
you know, getting in touch with a client, making a follow-up call, or whatever it might be, even, you know, as it's determined in your project when you set that up. So you can make sure that things are progressing nicely.
Yeah, we use a project, an online system, Asana, and man, it has made our life so much easier. I think, you know, at this point, I have about 18 members, and you're right. We were finding those scenarios where we weren't sure who had completed their part of the process. There were 40 emails going back and forth trying to figure out who was where, why this wasn't done, and what was going on with that. And I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, even if you just start delegating your business and you have a VA. When I first got my VA, I loved to log on to my project management system and see that a whole bunch of follow-up emails had been sent out, or, you know, cards to my new clients or whatever it was. It was very freeing and liberating, and gave me the confidence to give her more.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, and I agree with you that you start, even whenever it's early on in your business, you want to get started in that fashion when you start having team members. And the I think one of the reasons I love it so much is because I can just log in and see if something has been finished. Instead of having to send the email saying, did you remember to do this? When did you send that out? Now I can see it without contacting them. And then if it's not done, I can reach out and go, okay, this was due yesterday. Why is it not done yet?
Right, exactly.
You know, it's good for all. Everybody's really clear on what they need to do. And, I adore that.
And I think it's also really good for the people that you are delegating to, because it leaves them feeling in control, and you don't have to always, you know, let them know that they're being checked on all the time.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can go in there and just kind of manage from, I wouldn't say afar, because you don't want to manage from afar, but you can manage without having to, constantly talk to them and bother them all the time and give them a little bit of control so that they have, more buy-in and more feeling of responsibility for your business.
Right. Very good. So really great information today. We got about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to be sure. So I have your website. Yes, it's tightship.us, right?
Yes.
Yes, awesome. So everybody needs to be sure and get connected with you. And let's finish out with a couple of fun questions. So since you're such a techie in systems, what's your favorite app on your phone?
Oh, gosh. I love Evernote. I just also found an app called Refresh. And that is really cool. What it does is that when you put your appointments on your calendar, and you can, it pulls names. So if you have like a one-on-one appointment or a new client coming in, and it will pull up their name that day and tell you a little bit about them. So it connects to your social media, their LinkedIn profile. So you can literally just kind of look at your app in the morning and then you have some questions and discussion points, you know, when their company started and all that kind of little information. So, and it even hooks up to their Facebook. So if, you know, they had a new baby recently in the family or something, you have something personal to talk to them about as well.
That's brilliant. I love that.
I really love that.
Yeah. It's all about building relationships. So when you can say, you know, oh, I see you just got back from Alaska, right? I mean, that's a good conversation to be having in all of these, because it's not just about business, it's about people.
So, right, absolutely.
Very cool. So you said it's called Refresh?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome. So what about, what's your favorite book? You reading good books lately?
I'm a big Stephen Covey fan. So any of his books, and I always have my nose in the business. but I'm also right now in the process of kind of stocking some things up on my iPad so that I can read over Christmas and give myself permission to not have my nose in the business book. And I'm trying to think of the name of one of my favorite authors for that. Anything that's, I kind of like, maybe I won't give an author a title of a book, but historical fiction, that was my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very good. Awesome. I love that you said that you were giving yourself permission not to have your nose in your business over the holidays. I hope that more people take that advice. That's good advice. That's my thing for the holidays as well. So I have no appointment scheduled to do as little as possible. There are a few things I do want to get in there and take a little quiet time to visit with my goals, right? And
absolutely.
I always find that the holidays are a great time for that for me. But,
yes, absolutely. But then it lets me hit the new year fresh. And, I can tend to get very busy in January, which is awesome, but I also need to give back to myself a little bit so that I have the energy to work with my clients.
That's exactly right. And it goes great with our whole time management and conversation that we were having. So very cool. Lisa, it has been so great having you here. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Michelle. It's always wonderful to talk to you. And yeah, thanks for the opportunity so much.
You're very welcome. So, guys, this was Lisa Hall from tightship.us. Be sure that you connect with Lisa on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and all those great places, and check out her website. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in a few.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Stism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Stism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Wonderful. It's been a fantastic show. We just had a great conversation with Lisa Hall. Be sure that you are connected with Lisa. Really, you know, the conversations were around getting your systems in order, looking at time management, looking at how you're calendaring. You know what? When we have our systems in place, what I see happen for so many entrepreneurs, when you take the time to get the systems in place, your life gets easier. That's why they're there. That's what they do. And when your life gets easier, guess what? You'll go find even bigger and better things to do. So, you know, we're entrepreneurs. It's what we do. We also had a conversation at the top of the hour about results-based selling and how to really learn more about your audience, you know, how to go to magazines and use the market research that they're doing to know what your potential clients are looking for. Use surveys to ask them those questions. What is it that you would want to do? So I decided I would close out today's show with some quotes. You know, I'm a quotaholic. I absolutely love quotes. And I have some really great ones for you guys today. The first one actually comes from my coach. Her name is Suzanne Evans. If you don't know Suzanne, she's awesome. And Suzanne says, the key to success is to be the last one standing. I just always love that quote. That comes from her book, The Way You Do Anything is the Way You Do Everything. Another great quote from Suzanne. And this is one of my favorite quotes from Eleanor Roosevelt. She said, you gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience by which you stop to look fear in the face. You must do the thing which you think you cannot do. And I talk a lot about fear and how it stops entrepreneurs from building the businesses or having the life that they desire to have, right? So you really have to pay attention to what it is that's stopping you. What is that fear? What is it that you think you cannot do? You must do the thing which you think you cannot do, is what she said. So very some good stuff. Here's a great one from Larry Winget. What you think about, talk about, and get off your ass and do something about is what comes back. So I love that. You know, it's all about taking action, all about taking action here at Take Action, Get Profit, right? as an entrepreneur, take those fears, just do it anyway, and take the step. What's the next step in your business? What system should you be fixing right now? Here's the other, you know, just something to take away from that. You don't fix all systems at once. You fix one system at a time. And so if you fixed a system, you know, if this month you fixed your customer relation system, what happens when the customer comes in? What happens whenever they make the buy? What happens after the buy? If you fixed that this month, and then next month you looked at fixing your email marketing system, and then the next month you looked at fixing your team hiring system or whatever those systems are. If you did one a month, you'd have 12 of them fixed a year from now, right? So don't be scared of those systems. Just get out there and do what that takes. Take the action. This is a great one from Victor Hugo. Short as life is, we can make it still shorter by careless waste of time. And, you know, for entrepreneurs, time is definitely money. And so many times I see people doing the wrong things, not taking the action that they should be taking, not focused on the income-producing activities. Instead, they're doing all those things that maybe they enjoy doing, right? Or even if they don't enjoy it, it's just something that's an avoidance tactic. You know, how often are you in there rewriting your website or rewriting content or, you know, something like that when you should be making those phone calls to those people that you met at that great networking event that you were at. So I want you to be careful. Remember, you don't get this minute back. So use it wisely. And then don't forget that you have to take that time for you, because just like Lisa was just saying, it's important for you to rejuvenate, right? She said she takes those last 2 weeks in December for herself without guilt, and because she knows that in January she's coming back, she's going to be on fire, right? She's going to jump right in, and things are going to be crazy, and she will be rejuvenated. So don't feel bad about that. And the last one I'm going to share with you today is from Will Smith. Will said, "Money and success don't change people. They merely amplify what is already there." Very interesting quote, because I think that sometimes, you know, those who sit on the sidelines have a tendency to say that money changed you or success changed you. And it doesn't have to be that way, right? Money gives you the ability to do those things in life that you've always dreamed about doing. And that's not necessarily just for you, right? Changes communities, it changes families, it changes lives, and gives you the ability to go out there and help those you want to help and take a stand for those you want to take a stand for and live comfortably if you want to live comfortably or create an orphanage if you want to create an orphanage or whatever that looks like. You can't do those things without money. Even nonprofits make a lot of money. I want you to remember that. I think there's a misnomer in this world that you know, that we shouldn't be out there doing that and making all that money. And we have all this big nonprofit thing going on. But nonprofit doesn't mean they're not profitable to help people. Nonprofit simply means a tax situation, right? So trust me, people who work in nonprofits get paid. And the nonprofits do great things because they have all that money. So what's the difference with you? Why can't you go do that? All right, I'll get off my soapbox. So we are coming in quickly to the end of the year, quickly to the end of this show. And I just want to encourage you that you've still got about 15 days. Get out there and see what else you can get done. I was looking at my numbers yesterday and determining what is it that I need to do in the next a little bit amount of time we got in the last this year to make sure that I meet the goals that I set. So go take a few minutes, look at those goals, see where you are and what it is that you need to do. Remember, you have to take action to get the results. All right, this is Michelle Sism saying be decisive, and I will see you again next Monday, 2 p.m. Central. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Sism, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.